What is the therefore there for? This is the LifeSpring Family Audio Bible coming to you from Riverside, California. Podcasting since 2004, I'm your OG Godcaster, Steve Webb. Welcome. This is the daily show where we're reading through the entire Bible in a year. Today our reading is John 10 through 12. Of course, after the reading, I'll have some comments for you. I'm calling today's episode, Therefore. The show notes page is at lifespringmedia.com/S12E241. My email address is steve@lifespringmedia.com. Let's get started. John chapter 10. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them in also. They too will listen to my voice. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there were gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The works I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Again, his Jewish opponents picked up stones to stone him, but Jesus said to them, "I have shown you many good works from the Father. For which of these do you stone me?" "We're not stoning you for any good work," they replied, "but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I have said you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and scripture cannot be set aside, what about the one whom the Father set apart as his very own and sent into the world? Why then do you accuse me of blasphemy because I said, 'I am God's Son'? Do not believe me unless I do the works of my Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and understand that the Father is in me and I in the Father." Again they tried to seize him, but he escaped their grasp. Then Jesus went back across the Jordan to the place where John had been baptizing in the early days. There he stayed, and many people came to him. They said, "Though John never performed a sign, all that John said about this man was true." And in that place many believed in Jesus. John chapter 11. A certain man, Lazarus, was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This was the Mary who anointed the Lord with fragrant oil and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, saying, "Lord, the one whom you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it." Jesus loved Martha, her sister, and Lazarus. When he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was. After 2 days, he said to his disciples, "Let's return to Judea again." The disciples replied, "Rabbi, the Jewish opposition wants to stone you, but you want to go back?" Jesus answered, "Aren't there 12 hours in the day? Whoever walks in the day doesn't stumble because they see the light of the world. But whoever walks in the night does stumble because the light isn't in them." He continued, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I'm going in order to wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's sleeping, he will get well." They thought Jesus meant that Lazarus was in a deep sleep, but Jesus had spoken about Lazarus' death. Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus has died. For your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there so that you can believe. Let's go to him." Then Thomas, the one called Didymus, said to the other disciples, "Let us go too, so that we may die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was a little less than 2 miles from Jerusalem. Many Jews had come to comfort Martha and Mary after their brother's death. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, while Mary remained in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask God, God will give you." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha replied, "I know that he will rise in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me will live, even though they die. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?" She replied, "Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Christ, God's Son, the one who is coming into the world." After she said this, she went and spoke privately to her sister Mary. "The teacher is here, and he's calling for you." When Mary heard this, she got up quickly and went to Jesus. He hadn't entered the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were comforting Mary in the house saw her get up quickly and leave, they followed her. They assumed she was going to mourn at the tomb. When Mary arrived where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." When Jesus saw her crying and the Jews who had come with her crying also, he was deeply disturbed and troubled. He asked, "Where have you laid him?" They replied, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to cry. The Jews said, "See how much he loved him?" But some of them said, "He healed the eyes of the man born blind. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was deeply disturbed again when he came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone covered the entrance. Jesus said, "Remove the stone." Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, "Lord, the smell will be awful. He's been dead 4 days." Jesus replied, "Didn't I tell you that if you believe, you will see God's glory?" So they removed the stone. Jesus looked up and said, "Father, thank you for hearing me. I know you always hear me. I say this for the benefit of the crowd standing here, so that they will believe that you sent me." Having said this, Jesus shouted with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out!" The dead man came out, his feet bound and his hands tied, and his face covered with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Untie him and let him go." Therefore, many of the Jews who came with Mary and saw what Jesus did believed in him. But some of them went to the Pharisees and told them what Jesus had done. Then the chief priests and Pharisees called together the council and said, "What are we going to do? This man is doing many miraculous signs. If we let him go on like this, everyone will believe in him. Then the Romans will come and take away both our temple and our people." One of them, Caiaphas, who was high priest that year, told them, "You don't know anything. You don't see that it is better for you that one man die for the people rather than the whole nation be destroyed." He didn't say this on his own. As high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would soon die for the nation, and not only for the nation. Jesus would also die so that God's children scattered everywhere would be gathered together as one. From that day on, they plotted to kill him. Therefore, Jesus was no longer active in public ministry among the Jewish leaders. Instead, he left Jerusalem and went to a place near the wilderness, to a city called Ephraim, where he stayed with his disciples. It was almost time for the Jewish Passover, and many people went from the countryside up to Jerusalem to purify themselves through ritual washing before the Passover. They were looking for Jesus. As they spoke to each other in the temple, they said, "What do you think? He won't come to the festival, will he?" The chief priests and the Pharisees had given orders that anyone who knew where he was should report it, so they could arrest him. John chapter 12. It was 6 days before the Passover feast. Jesus arrived at Bethany, where Lazarus lived. Lazarus was the one Jesus had raised from the dead. A dinner was being given at Bethany to honor Jesus. Martha served the food. Lazarus was among those at the table with Jesus. Then Mary took about a pint of pure nard. It was an expensive perfume. She poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the sweet smell of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot didn't like what Mary did. He was one of Jesus' disciples. Later, he was going to hand Jesus over to his enemies. Judas said, "Why wasn't this perfume sold? Why wasn't the money given to poor people? It was worth a year's pay." He didn't say this because he cared about the poor. He said it because he was a thief. Judas was in charge of the money bag. He used to help himself to what was in it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "The perfume was meant for the day I am buried. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, so they came. But they did not come only because of Jesus. They also came to see Lazarus. After all, Jesus had raised him from the dead. So the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus too. Because of Lazarus, many of the Jews were starting to follow Jesus. They were putting their faith in him. The next day, the large crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. So they took branches from palm trees and went out to meet him. They shouted, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Blessed is the King of Israel!" Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it. This is just as it is written in Scripture. It says, "City of Zion, do not be afraid. See, your king is coming. He is sitting on a donkey's colt." At first, Jesus' disciples did not understand all this. They realized it only after he had received glory. Then they realized that these things had been written about him. They realized that the people had done these things to him. A crowd had been with Jesus when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead. So they continued to tell everyone about what had happened. Many people went out to meet him. They had heard that he had done this miraculous sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "This isn't getting us anywhere. Look how the whole world is following him." There were some Greeks among the people who went up to worship during the feast. They came to ask Philip for a favor. Philip was from Bethsaida in Galilee. "Sir," they said, "we would like to see Jesus." Philip went to tell Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip told Jesus. Jesus replied, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to receive glory. What I'm about to tell you is true. Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it remains only one seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Anyone who loves his life will lose it. But anyone who hates his life in this world will keep it and have eternal life. Anyone who serves me must follow me, and where I am, my servant will also be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. My heart is troubled. What should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the very reason I came to this hour. Father, bring glory to your name." Then a voice came from heaven. It said, I have brought glory to my name. I will bring glory to it again. The crowd there heard the voice. Some said it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to Jesus. Jesus said, This voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now it is time for the world to be judged. Now the prince of this world will be thrown out, but I am going to be lifted up from the earth. When I am, I will bring all people to myself. He said this to show them how he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. The law tells us that the Christ will remain forever, they said. So how can you say, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, You are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light. Do this before darkness catches up with you. Anyone who walks in the dark does not know where he's going. While you have the light, put your trust in it. Then you can become sons of light. When Jesus had finished speaking, he left and hid from them. Jesus had done all these miraculous signs in front of them, but they still would not believe in him. This happened as Isaiah the prophet had said it would. He had said, Lord, who has believed what we've been saying? Who has seen the Lord's saving power? For this reason, they could not believe. As Isaiah says in another place, The Lord has blinded their eyes. He has closed their minds, so they can't see with their eyes. They can't understand with their minds. They can't turn to the Lord. If they could, he would heal them. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. At the same time that Jesus did those miracles, many of the leaders believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they would not admit they believed. They were afraid they would be thrown out of the synagogue. They loved praise from people more than praise from God. Then Jesus cried out, Anyone who believes in me does not believe in me only. He also believes in the one who sent me. When he looks at me, he sees the one who sent me. I have come into the world to be a light. No one who believes in me will stay in darkness. I don't judge a person who hears my words but does not obey them. I didn't come to judge the world. I came to save it. But there is a judge for anyone who does not accept me and my words. The very words I have spoken will judge him on the last day. I did not speak on my own. The Father who sent me commanded me what to say. He also told me how to say it. I know that his command leads to eternal life. So everything I say is just what the Father has told me to say.
Well, beloved, these three chapters were very, very important chapters, wouldn't you say? Let's talk about chapter 11. In this chapter, we read about perhaps Jesus' greatest miracle, the raising of his friend Lazarus from the dead. Lazarus' sisters, Mary and Martha, had sent word to Jesus that, quote, the one whom you love is ill, unquote. In the Greek, the way the word ill is used tells us that he had been sick for some time. This was not something that just came up suddenly. Mary and Martha had watched their brother in his sickness, and now they felt the need to call for Jesus. Now, once more, I'm not entirely happy with the way our translation today, the Common English Bible, translated Jesus' response. It said in the translation we read today, This illness isn't fatal. It's for the glory of God, so that God's Son can be glorified through it. Well, the fact is that the illness was fatal, wasn't it? The illness did, in fact, kill Lazarus. But in the Greek, what Jesus said was, This ailment will not end in death. It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. The difference in the two translations is subtle, but I think it's important. So in my comments today, I'm not going to use this translation as we move forward. There are more of these differences, and I want us to look just at what the original language wants us to see. All right, so after Jesus said that the illness will not end in death, the text says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and therefore stayed two more days in the place where he was. I have always been taught that when you see the word therefore in Scripture, you have to ask yourself, what is the therefore there for? And in this case, the therefore is there for a very specific and incredibly important reason. Therefore ties two thoughts or events together. What are they in this case? Well, number one, we're told Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And two, or therefore, Jesus stayed two more days. He loved them, therefore he stayed two more days. You see, Jesus could have healed Lazarus immediately. He did not need to travel to Bethany, where the sisters and Lazarus was. But there was something to be accomplished in their waiting for those 2 days and in the death of Lazarus. Jesus told us what it was, what was to be accomplished. He said, "It is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Jesus knew that in going back to Judea, where the Jewish leaders had just recently wanted to stone him to death, he was walking into danger. And he knew that when he raised Lazarus from the dead, that would be the beginning of his final chapter. Therefore, because he loved. Beloved, because he loves us, he sometimes allows us to go through difficult times. In difficulties, in heartbreaks, God can accomplish great things. He knows what it is to grieve. We saw in verse 35 that Jesus wept. Even though he knew that he was about to raise Lazarus, he wept because of his compassion for his friends. He's not a God that is far off, removed from us. He has said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." The miracle that Jesus did in raising Lazarus from the dead was part of the plan that ultimately took him to the cross, where he shed the blood that brings salvation to any who will believe in him. And his resurrection proved that he had a power and authority over death, confirming that he is indeed God. Therefore, because he loved, don't doubt his love for you when life seems to be falling apart. Hold on to him tight. He loves you. What do you think? You have a comment? Let me know. LifespringMedia.com/S12E241. We'll read 2 Timothy 1 through 2 tomorrow.
And now, as the French say, it is time for Le Boost.
On this date in church history, April 30th, 1739. This actually goes along very well with our reading today. English revivalist George Whitefield noted in his journal, "Our extremity is God's opportunity." Amen. Let's pray. Our God, we thank you for being a compassionate God who truly knows what it is to be human, who, in the person of Jesus, lived in skin and bones and felt the pain of losing a loved one, who knows how it feels to be betrayed, beaten, and broken. We know that you understand our pain. So when we come to you in those times that bring us to tears, I believe that you're moved, as you were when Mary and Martha grieved for their brother. But you're able to do something about our circumstances, and you can work them for your glory and our ultimate benefit. And it is so good to have confidence in that, Lord. So we thank you when we find peace in it, and we praise you for it. We want to walk with you, Lord. Help us to walk closely. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me know if you have a prayer request or a praise. Go to prayer.lifespringmedia.com. Share the show and comment on the show at lifespringmedia.com/S12E241. Email me at steve@lifespringmedia.com and please support the show at lifespringmedia.com/support. Thanks to Kirsty and Sean of San Pedro for their donation of time and talent. Until tomorrow, may God bless you richly. My name is Steve Webb. See you then. Bye.